all body shapes, like all fitness levels. Like, it doesn't matter. You know, you're looking ridiculous on a trampoline anyways. So, it, like, all expectations go out the window. And it's really trying to figure out and promote one, self-love, self-acceptance. And people don't always want to look for, you know, and look like a bodybuilder, or not even that, like like they do fitness shows, like a fitness model. Not everyone works out for that reason. And I think kind of
let me get my mind, let me get my mind right. Yeah. Let me get my mind, let me get my mind right. You know everything is all.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Millennial Minds in Business. Today we get the pleasure of talking with Callie Williams from Viva Fit Fitness Studio here in Boise, Idaho. I am your host, Stephen Gabrielson, with SLG Advising, Business Consulting of the New Age. And Viva Fit is a pretty different fitness studio here in Boise. They're the only fitness studio that offers rebounding classes. They also do booty yoga and boutique style bar and Pilates. Mm-hmm. And with that, Callie, welcome to the show.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you're welcome. Tell us a little bit about yourself and what you got going on.
So in June, I opened Viva Fitness. It's a small boutique studio in central Boise, and we're the only rebounding studio, like you said, in Idaho, so we do classes on mini trampolines. It's a little crazy.
That's so cool. mini trampolines. Uh-huh. Can you get some serious height with that?
Yes and no. We always tell people to bounce down. So like on a regular trampoline, you bounce up, right? But you almost have to like catch yourself in the classes because everything is to the beat. You're doing other types of moves on there. So you don't necessarily want to jump really high.
Yeah.
So I kind of...
Do you ever have anyone falling off?
Okay. So I've only had, in 4 years of me teaching, I've only had one person fall off. And that was because they bounced too high.
Really?
Yeah. And I think it kind of scared them. So, but other than that, no.
Whoa.
It's only like a foot off the ground. Everyone's fine.
Yeah. I have one of those little trampolines in my backyard for my kids to play on, you know? And yeah, I could imagine that'd be fun.
Well, and after, you know, a minute, you're like, okay, so I'm off, right?
Yeah, right? That's fun.
Yeah.
All right, so tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah.
And how you got to this point.
Yeah, so I was a collegiate athlete. I played basketball, high school, club, and then I played at a small school in Washington. Cool. And unfortunately, I had three knee surgeries, tore my ACL on both knees, and then I had a meniscus repair on one of them. And it wasn't like your normal tear, like where they just shave it off. I completely tore through, and so they had to go in and stitch it together just because I was so young at the time.
Oh, so you have to stay off it longer, right?
Yeah,
so
they put you. They put you in like a stick straight brace. So I swear my leg was like so tiny.
Oh my gosh!
But that was a pretty terrible, and I still have issues from that. I'm pretty sure at this point my meniscus is degraded, so it's just probably just running together. But after that, totally ruined my college career. So then I came back, finished my degree out at BSU, got a health science degree. And I, for the longest time, I wanted to go into dental school or something pre-med or something like that. And when I got out, I realized I just did not want to go to more school, and I was over school. And immediately went into selling medical devices. I worked for a couple of big companies, and my last medical sales job, I just seriously hated my boss, and I had the whole Idaho territory, so I was gone 2-3 days a week, you know, out of the week, and it was just a lot of traveling, a lot of stress, and I was just really over the corporate world. It's crazy what leadership does to you. It could totally make or break, and I loved my job. Like, I loved my customers, I loved what I was selling, and, you know, I thought, you know, you get to a point, you're like, oh, I want to work a corporate job, and, you know, I'm going to get here, and I'm going to be so happy. And then when you're there, you're just like, what the hell? Everything is dictated by your boss, and it just really sucked.
Yeah.
She had me doing, well, all of us, everybody in her territory, like hour by hour reports on where we were at, no matter if we were hitting our quota or not.
Jeez.
Yeah. So it was too much. And so, I left that job, and then I was running a medical transportation company for a little bit locally in town, and that job was actually really great. I learned a lot, you know, managing a team and, you know, having people under me, and I kind of had some, you know, I knew what not to do from my old boss, right? Uh-huh. But, and I had been teaching, meanwhile, I'd been teaching bar at a local fitness studio, and loved it, you know, after doing so much damage to my body and doing like the high intense CrossFit style. You know, I did kickboxing for a little bit and my body just like hurt. And I would go through phases where I would, you know, work out a ton and then my body would hurt so bad that I would just stop for a couple months because I was so over it.
Yeah.
You know? And so I found Bar and I'm like, oh my gosh, this is killer. And I'm not like, I can still walk up the stairs, you know?
Yeah.
So a little bit different. And then, you know, I really, and I wish I would have had that type of workout when I was an athlete, because I probably wouldn't have gotten hurt now that I think about it.
Really?
Yeah. Because, you know, especially with Bar and a lot of isometric movements, and it's all core, you know, so we worked on our core like none other. So I taught that for a little bit. And then and the studio owner, she had a couple of trampolines, and that's where, you know, I started, and she taught a little bit. She didn't love it. That's why she never really pushed it. But then when I was like, I want to teach this. So
yeah,
that's kind of what happened. And, a couple months later after, you know, I started my other job, she was like, yeah, I'm going to leave and I'm moving to Scottsdale. I'm just going to shut down the studio. And I said, no, don't. And I took it. So
wow.
I had like 6 weeks where I knew the studio was mine. And of recreate and make it my own.
Yeah.
In about 6 weeks.
So you had to go rebrand completely, mm-hmm. new name, mm-hmm. new everything.
Mm-hmm. It was a
holy cow.
Crazy. Yeah. And unfortunately, I mean, I quit my job because I really knew that I needed to put my full effort into this, mm-hmm. Just to make it work.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
At what point did you make the decision to quit your job and then mm-hmm. know you're going to be self-employed? Like, how did, walk us through the thought process behind that.
Uh-huh.
And because I know a lot of people listening to this are kind of in that limbo stage.
Yeah.
Between, do I start my own thing? Do I stay at my job? What do I need to do in order to be prepared to mm-hmm. leave and start my own thing?
Mm-hmm.
So kind of walk us through your mindset behind that shift.
Yeah.
As well as some things you may have put in place to know that you're going to be okay after you left.
Mm-hmm. That's kind of a scary thing. You never really know when a good time is. There's never a good time, right?
Yeah.
It's interesting, though, because about 2 years prior, I was like, man, I would love to own my own fitness studio. But I never knew the steps. And, of course, it's a scary thing. I mean, going mm-hmm. out on your own is super scary. You're not having that paycheck come in and,
yeah.
you know, feeling like you're fine.
Yeah.
But I don't know if there was an exact point, but I just knew that while I was at my day job, I was thinking about the studio and I wanted to be at the studio and to make it my own and to
yeah.
really do things right. And there's just not enough time in the day. And I actually quit like the first month that I opened, because, you know, I needed to do it myself and I needed to experience that as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was scary.
Yeah.
It's still scary.
Yeah.
Each month is scary.
That's crazy. So are you along the more of the mindset of you need to kind of feel that stress and that hunger to push and drive you
mm-hmm.
rather than having, like for me, mm-hmm. I needed 6 months worth of savings. I
mm-hmm.
needed all this stuff
mm-hmm.
in order to be able to make the jump.
Make the jump. Yeah. And which is smarter.
Well, some might say it's smarter, some might say
yeah.
it's not smarter, because now I basically have 6 months to do whatever I want or go find another job.
Totally.
Right?
Gosh, I don't know. I personally, it lit a fire under my ass.
Yeah.
Because I knew that, okay, this month was fine, but who knows about next month, you know? And so
sink or swim.
Oh yeah. And it's all about grit. I think especially everybody thinks, you know, the glamour, like, oh, you set your own schedule. Oh, you do this, this, and this. It's like, no,
yeah.
no. I'm still training people at 6 a.m.
Yeah.
and sometimes I end at 8 p.m.
Yeah.
So it's a grind. Like, and I think I'm finally feeling like, you know, when everybody says, you know, in their first year of business, like, yeah, you never sleep. Like, you know, did you shower today? It's like having a baby, right?
Yeah.
And I definitely feel that.
Yeah.
It's a grind.
I can imagine.
It's a grind, but good thing. I love it.
Yeah.
Because if I didn't, holy shit.
Yeah.
Like that would not be good.
Yeah.
So my advice to anybody who's in that, you know, in that state, just to, you better freaking love it.
Yeah.
Because you're going to eat, sleep, and breathe it. And it's very, it's tough. It's tough, but.
That's cool.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So walk us through the initial business growth. How were you able to, because you've done a great job rebranding this studio.
Thank you. Yeah, thanks.
All over social media and everything that I see. Mm-hmm. Obviously, I follow all your pages, so I see it a lot more than someone who probably doesn't. But walk us through the process of starting that rebrand and what platforms you used, what you leaned on more than others. Mm-hmm. Were you more word of mouth, or did you do a lot of advertising as far as maybe jumping into some events around the valley and stuff like that?
So, social media is something that I had to learn, and it sucks, and I hate it, but it'll make or break you, especially in this day and age. And thank goodness, like, I'm a millennial, like, you know, I wasn't fighting technology from the beginning.
Yeah.
So, but I had to think, you get really sucked into it, but you have to think of it as a job. And so that's kind of what I started, you know, and I started in summer. So probably the worst time I could have opened a fitness studio. So little note, don't open in June. No, but it wasn't really word of mouth. You know, I had already a great little clientele base from the studio before. They already had taken classes from me. They knew what kind of style I taught. So they knew, and a lot of people stayed, but a lot of people didn't. And which is totally fine. I think that, and it kind of hurts your feelings at first, but you just got to get over that. Like, not everyone's going to love what you're doing.
Yeah.
So, I kept the same software too, which also was a mistake, because on people signing in, it automatically changed. So a lot of people didn't know it was a new business. They just thought Cipra method had, you know, kind of, you know, rebranded.
Yeah.
So that kind of screwed me over, because people thought that they could still use their old Groupons. They, you know, they didn't treat it as a new business.
Okay.
So that was a mistake, that I made early on, that I definitely learned from. But other than that, I really tried to get out in the community, and social media is key. Finding ambassadors for your brand is key. And then really I don't hire green instructors. I hire people who've been teaching a long time.
Uh-huh.
And the instructors, you know, they're 1099s. They have to market themselves and they get paid based off of attendance.
Oh, cool.
And so, that, you know, as a 1099, that gives you a little more skin in the game a little bit.
Yeah.
But I really just did a couple events throughout the valley. I did an event at Jump, downtown. Again, it was summer. Like, it wasn't, you know, a hit, but as long as I kept doing stuff every single month and we kept consistent, people started to catch on and they started to ask for it.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So, I don't know if this is a question you can answer or not, but walk us, you have ambassadors on social media, right? Uh-huh. So who do you work with, and how did you get those connections? And...
Mm-hmm. Really, man, I reached out to people who had, one, a passion for fitness, or at least a passion for what, you know, brands they were talking about.
Yeah.
Typically, it has to do with a lot of followers, but now I guess it's more on engagement and, you know, people responding to them and stuff like that. So, you know, there's a group in Boise, you know, especially in Boise, because Boise is small. Like, you know, I kind of had an idea on who I wanted, but I also wanted people who had already come to the studio and who already loved what the studio was doing and what we were doing. And so basically, I give them a certain amount of classes a month, but they have to perform, like, they have to bring in however many people because of their following. So whether that means they do like a little, you know, code or something, hey, my followers get this discount if you come in.
Yeah.
And, but it's interesting. 9 times out of 10 people find us from Instagram.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. New clients.
Are you serious? Mm-hmm. Holy cow.
Mm-hmm. And it's also interesting too, because the clientele before was a little bit older, at the studio before, and really, it shifted more, you know, young people.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So do you attribute a lot of that growth from having those ambassadors and stuff like that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Because I did my website, my website's nothing special.
Uh-huh.
You know, I did a Groupon for like a week, and then I was like, no, this is not what I want.
Mm-hmm.
I would always, unless unless you're kind of desperate, I would never go the Groupon route or Living Social. It really devalues your business.
Really?
Yeah.
It just, people start looking at you more of like a cheap.
Like, oh, this is cheap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I'll go for here for a class or two and then.
Mm-hmm. It may be good for people like at first for the exposure, but I would honestly put that, I mean, you get paid nothing though.
Really?
So yeah, I just kind of, it's a toss up.
Yeah.
But I think social media is definitely the way to go.
And yeah.
I fight it. But you have, you
got to.
I know.
I'm right there with you. I hate social media.
It sucks.
But it's so important.
Yeah.
And so
I've learned so much from the ambassadors that I do have and people who have thousands and thousands and thousands of followers. And it's, you have to be extremely vulnerable. Like, cause they want it. People, I'm like, I never understand. Like, people don't give a shit about what I have to say. So like, why, you know, but they really do. They want to see, you know, the instructors, they want to see you talk. They want to get real. They want to feel like they know you coming on into it.
Yeah.
Which is very rare to me, but hey, I mean, it's like everybody's own reality TV show though.
It's so true. That's the, I've been working my social media stuff for a while, a couple months.
Yeah.
And I still struggle.
Yeah.
To sit down and put that camera on me and talk.
Yeah.
And act like I am enjoying the process.
I know.
Because it is like absolute torture.
It's torture.
I would rather go to the dentist.
Yeah, which is
sit there and try. Yeah. And sit there and try to do my social media stuff. But it's so important.
Well, and consistency is key. And I can definitely get better at this, but consistently going live, like consistently showing your face, like, hey, on this time, this day, this is when I do this. Or so
do you see a lot more interaction on your live stuff or through like Instagram stories and stuff like that?
Stories for sure.
Stories for sure. You don't get that much traction on the live.
Yeah, but I've only done live like twice.
Really? Have you ever done like the TV or whatever? Or is that live?
Yeah. It, well, I guess I don't really know, honestly, but I think it's longer videos.
Really?
So you can save longer videos on there.
Oh.
So it's almost like YouTube in a way.
Oh, really?
So people don't have to get out of the app and go to YouTube. So I think that's,
interesting.
Yeah.
Instagram, man.
I know.
It's changing the game.
Well, and Facebook's out. I don't mess around with Facebook.
I know. But I mean, where they went right is they're owned by it's both Facebook, basically.
That's true.
Right? So it's all,
like
if you have, I don't know if you've messed around with like the Facebook advertising, but if you have like your business Facebook page, you can link it all over to Instagram, and that stuff still, it's crazy.
It's so, and I know the Facebook generally goes toward the older crowd, which is fine. I mean, they have more money, I guess. I don't know.
Right.
But
well, I think you can still target a lot more effectively from the Facebook platform.
Yes, I agree.
But it's cool because a lot of people will link their Instagram and Facebook accounts.
Mm-hmm.
So you kind of get the cross.
You get both.
Yeah, you get both. That's both worlds there.
Mm-hmm.
But, oh my gosh. It's nuts.
It's not. And anybody can get famous on Instagram now. So, like, what does that even really mean?
It doesn't mean anything.
And I really try to give value each time I post. And that's so hard because sometimes you just post to post.
Yeah.
But especially to, like, I try to manage my own, my personal, and then the business.
Yeah.
And I just can't wait till I don't have to, like, I can hire someone to do that.
Yeah, right?
But,
seriously.
But
it's, ugh.
But then again, if you don't do it yourself, you're also taking the risk of them
losing
posting
that.
Something that you maybe wouldn't.
Yeah,
wear.
And you lose a lot of that authenticity
and
that real connection that you're trying to go for.
Yeah.
So it's a struggle.
Yeah.
It's a daily struggle. It takes too much time, but it's so important.
I know. And I work with a lot of great, like my photographer, actually, she's amazing. And she also does blog coaching. And so she sat me down in the beginning and thank goodness, but she kind of like mapped it all out for me.
Yeah.
And if I didn't have that, I would just be winging everything. I mean, I'm still kind of winging everything. I kind of push against the rules a little bit.
It's the life of being a small business owner.
I know.
You just wing every day.
And you wear so many hats. Some days I'm the janitor, some days I'm the instructor. I don't know.
Right?
But
it's so weird.
I will say though, I surround yourself by really good people, people who you trust, because that can make your life a lot easier or hell.
For sure.
And people have learned the hard way. Like my dad owned his own business and it's scary.
It is. it's scary, but once, I mean, at least for me, getting into it, there's no, I don't think I could ever go back and work for somebody else.
If I did, like, my manager would literally be non-existent.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Just so hands-off. But I don't know if I could. Yeah.
I know. I even tried to do, like, just, like, outsourced work for other CPAs to help them catch up during busy season.
Sure, yeah.
And even that, it's a struggle. Because you got to conform to how their process is. You got to conform to how they do things.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I just, it's not a good fit for me.
I know.
It's tough.
I just like gotta bite your tongue on
I know, right? All right, so you started in June.
Yeah.
4 months ago. Mm-hmm. 4.5 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
One thing, if you could have done one thing differently, what would you have done?
Oh, man. One thing. I don't even know. It would probably, honestly, not transfer over the software.
Really?
Yeah.
That software thing?
Yeah, because I probably should have had a bigger, like, grand opening with that, too.
Really?
But, again, like, when you're brand new, you're just trying to throw shit at the wall and see what sticks.
Yeah.
So, and plus I had so little time to plan everything.
Yeah.
So I was just, like, going. But that probably would have been it.
Yeah. All right, on the flip side, what's been the most beneficial thing that you've either implemented or that you had rolling into it?
So the space is very different than any other studio even I've been to. You know, I checked out a lot of studios before this. One, we have other classes that you can't find anywhere else. And I really take the time to figure out, like, the instructors that are really, really great. And we're so accepting. Like, I have been into some studios where I'm like, they didn't even acknowledge me at the front desk. Like,
really?
It's just a different feel. And we accept all body shapes, like all fitness levels. Like, it doesn't matter. You know, you're looking ridiculous on a trampoline anyways. So it, like, all expectations go out the window, and it's really trying to figure out and promote one, self-love, self-acceptance. And people don't always want to look for, you know, and look like a bodybuilder, or not even that, like, like they do fitness shows, like a fitness model. Not everyone works out for that reason. And I think kind of eliminating those, you know, stigmas and stereotypes is kind of what makes us different. And I think connecting to the clients like that and really getting to be a part of their fitness journey, that has been, like, the most rewarding thing.
That's cool.
Yeah. I get to meet, like, so many great people.
Yeah.
And I get to help them however I can.
Yeah.
So that's the best.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
Or it's also cool when people are like, wait, you jump on a trampoline, you try to explain it, and then they get on it, they're all freaked out, and then afterwards they're like, that was so badass.
that's
what makes me happy.
I can imagine. I got to get out there and get on one of those trampolines.
You have to. Men benefit so much from it, but they think it's like a woman thing. But I'm telling you, I make my fiance get on there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he loves it. He plays hockey, like, in the men's league. And
oh, cool.
He even says, like, all of his stabilizer muscles are so much stronger.
Really?
His core so much stronger. So it, like, enhances his game. So even if, like, I'm all about, like, shocking your body. So if you do CrossFit, that's cool. You do you. But you also need to switch it up.
Start incorporating different
movements. So then your body can, it's not, it's just shocking your body.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Whew. Fun stuff.
I know. It's cool.
So you were a collegiate athlete.
Uh-huh.
Basketball.
Mm-hmm.
How was your, not necessarily how was your game, but were you like, I'm going to the WNBA?
Oh, hell no.
No.
You weren't that
diehard.
I'm only 5'6", dude. No.
I knew
college was the end game, but it's interesting because the last two injuries that I had were, like, really freak accidents.
Really?
Yeah, and by the third
one... So did you blow out both your knees, like, close together?
Pretty close.
Really?
So the first time I tore it in high school, my junior year, which is, like, your most important year to get to college, right?
Yeah.
So that sucked. And, again, there's not a lot of knowledge, like, there's not a lot of education on what your core does. I mean, we just had to run faster.
Yeah.
Jump higher. You know, and then I we did heavy lifting.
Yeah.
But that was it. There was no incorporation of your stabilizers, your core. We did very little. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's what attributed to all my injuries.
Yeah.
But, so I tore my ACL in my junior year and then played my freshman year of college. That summer, I probably got in the best shape of my life, playing against dudes, just such great shape. Like I was playing way more confidently. And I was a sassy player anyways, like I was like every game, but I felt so good. Literally the night before I moved back to Washington, all my stuff was in the U-Haul. I tell my trainer at the time, I was like, hey, I just need one more workout. Let's go play one-on-one. We went to a gym, Central Boise, and the wall's closer to the baseline than normal. And so we're playing one-on-one. I went for a lay-in. I came down. Usually like you fall if you're off balance or whatever. Yeah. And the wall was caught me off guard. I just watched my knee just bash into it.
Oh.
And that completely tore my meniscus. And I thought, you know, went through, you know, got my MRI and all that kind of stuff. And the guy was just like, yeah, it's just your meniscus. I was like, oh, thank God. Like, it's not my ACL.
Yeah.
But they were like, oh, no, we're going to stitch it together because you're only 19. And so that's a 6-month, you know, recovery compared to like a 6-week.
Yeah.
So sat all season. Got great shape again. Like when you're an athlete and you have to sit on the bench, oh my gosh, just like
torture,
so torturous. But did that, rehabbed everything, and then I was playing in a pickup game when I got cleared, and some girl undercut me, and I on a rebound, and I tore my other ACL.
Oh my gosh.
And it was literally both times was when I made a decision. So like I decided that on the third one, I was like, oh, I'm going to medical redshirt that year. I can stay here another year and then decide where I want to go after. And literally, it's crazy what you put on the universe and then it just happens. It was definitely a sign. I should not be playing.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
So did you have to go through because I know a lot of collegiate athletes, like their sport is their thing.
Mm-hmm.
So after those injuries, did you have to go through like a mental reshape of?
Oh, yeah.
Of getting back to, okay, collegiate sports is not in my future.
Mm-hmm.
What do I do now?
Yeah, I started kickboxing, crazy enough. And that was actually, like, pretty decent on my knees.
Yeah.
And I freaking loved it because it, like, brought out the competitive side in you. And, like, it's very different than, it's such a different sport and mentality. So I started that, and I actually was going to do a fight.
Really?
Yeah, until my dad found out.
Really?
And he said, no.
You're not doing that.
Not doing that. Holy cow.
And
then after that, you know, I really struggled to find, like, where my place was, like, fitness-wise. Because, again, you feel like you're at the top of your game. Mm-hmm. You know, you identify yourself as an athlete. And then you completely, like, no one gives a shit anymore.
Yeah.
Well, not even that. Like, I mean, you just don't have that.
Yeah.
So... Actually, that's kind of when I started finding bar and when I started teaching and found out that I really enjoy teaching. So,
wow.
Yeah. But completely different ends of the spectrum.
Yeah.
Like high, you know, and bar is super hard. Don't get me wrong, but it's not the high intense, you know, kind of kill your body, but I love it. It's awesome.
Wow. Mm-hmm. That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
So you've like done everything.
I feel like it, yeah.
You studied exercise science.
Health science.
Health science. Mm-hmm.
So kind of like pre-med. I had enough credits to like go to med school. Okay. Yeah.
And then you shifted. You didn't really shift away from the medical side because you were selling medical products.
Yeah. That helped me, I think.
You walked up the ladder into the management positions and you were running teams. And how did you do that coming from a health background and then getting into management and getting into the business, a lot of the business side of stuff?
I just kind of went for it. I always applied for positions I didn't think I like on paper maybe I didn't look qualified for.
Yeah.
But my sales background really helped me in the leadership. And you just gotta be a good person.
Yeah.
Honestly, like, and just go for it. Like, zero F's. Like, just go.
Zero F's.
And who cares if you don't succeed or get the job or whatever.
Yeah.
But I just always went for stuff that I wanted to do, and things kind of, I feel like when you put stuff out in the universe, it usually always comes back.
So, yeah.
A lot of hard work though.
Oh yeah.
It's not imagine. All. It's not all pretty. It's not. Yeah. You know, rainbows and sunshine and.
Yeah. And unicorns.
I know.
That's funny. Yeah. So. You just got back from Aruba.
Yeah.
You just got engaged.
I did.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's awesome.
Good. Yeah, he did good.
So when's the big date?
We're thinking like September, October, but I'm kind of freaking out because that means I have to like book a venue now.
Yeah.
And all this kind of shit. I'm like, what?
Stressful.
Everybody's asking like what my colors are. I'm like, I don't even know. And so everyone I talk to has had a wedding though. They're like, yeah, just elope. So I don't, we're kind of in this weird, because I honestly don't. I don't want to focus on that. I don't want to stress over that. I'd rather work on the business.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
How has it been balancing the business side and owning your own business and being tied to this thing and also balancing your personal relationships and still having time to get out and have a good, enjoyable weekend and build relationships?
Well, I have the sweetest fiance ever. Like, thank God. He totally gets me and knows when I just need to like take a mental break and just not do anything and just literally stay at home. And he pushes a lot, you know. It's so funny because I always like tell people you need to have self-care, you need to do all this, this, and this, and you know, do what makes you happy. And sometimes I totally forget that. I'm like, I need to take my own advice, right? But thank goodness he is so sweet. But yeah, it sucks. A lot of the fun, especially, I mean, I'm only 4 or 5 months in, so
yeah,
I haven't really had like a social life. And thank God though, a lot of my social life comes from the studio. Like
that's probably true.
Yeah. So it's not like I feel like I need to go out and do all these kind of things.
Really?
I don't. But you definitely figure out who your real friends are.
Really?
Your business. Oh yeah. Yeah. Who's going to support you? Who's not? And,
yeah.
Another thing I learned too is everyone wants shit for free, which I'm like, I don't get it. But yeah. It's just kind of the world we live in.
Yeah, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, those people.
I know, right?
Yeah.
There's always those type of people. But I have met so many amazing people by just being open to different ideas and, like, the ambassador stuff and meeting people from social media.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of cool stuff going on, you know, in Boise, a lot of, you know, free seminars and just get-togethers and collab events. And
yeah,
it's really cool.
Yeah.
So
what do you got going on for Viva Fit for the rest of the year?
Oh, man. So more classes, more instructors. I'll probably be hosting a bounce instructor thing soon.
Yeah.
A little course soon. But yeah, I'd love to open.
Where you're going to train. Mm-hmm. You're going to train people in rebounding.
Yeah, and some more exciting stuff too. I think that, I don't know how much I want to say, but we're definitely creating a program.
Cool.
That other people can implement in their places.
That is awesome.
Yeah. So then.
That's
yeah.
cool.
Mm-hmm.
Diversifying that income stream.
Yeah.
I like it.
I know. Cause I'm like, okay. Cause like, you know, any small business owner, you're kind of capped. So yep. It's like, what else can I do to,
yeah.
you know, but it'll be interesting to see how that pans out because there's a lot of work. I mean, lawyers have to be involved, all that kind of crap.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Yeah. That's fun, though.
I know.
That's a cool way to take it.
Yeah, yeah.
That's really cool.
I think that's the only way.
Oh, yeah.
Because, again, like, you're capped at a certain, you know, spot. Especially, you know, we have a tiny place. It's not it's not big. But how can we, one, spread the word and, like, keep, you know, giving back to people who don't want that traditional fitness? They want something different.
Yeah.
And this is what we can offer. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
Yeah, it's cool. Yeah.
So where can people find you?
So we are located kind of by St. Al's. So Franklin and Curtis, Central Boise. We're right by the connector. And we're kind of hidden a little bit. We're in like an office space, but
yeah.
Once you find it, you'll never forget.
Yeah. Yeah. There you go.
Uh-huh.
What about social media?
Viva Fit Boise is our, what's it called, a tag? I don't know what it means.
It's
a tag?
Yeah, your
tag,
your name.
Our name.
Your tag, yeah.
Tag, I'm like, I don't know what it is. Facebook, same thing. Our website's www.vivafithub.com.
Okay.
And then there you can book your classes. First class is always free. And put all expectations aside. Come and join a class.
Come
it's
have
so
fun.
Oh, it's so fun. There's loud music, different lights. We do everything to the beats.
Yeah.
It's high intense. You're definitely going to get, you know, your money's worth.
Oh, yeah.
I love it.
So you have this new little machine thing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
What's that called?
It's called a reformer.
A reformer.
Mm-hmm. It's a Pilates reformer.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So for those of us listening who don't know what that is, because it's a weird looking contraption.
It looks like a torture device.
It does. On like this glider thing.
Uh-huh. So I do personal training on that. And I also have another gal who's certified in Pilates who teaches as well. But it basically shows where your imbalances are in your body. And then you're able to balance everything out. So, I mean, we get, you name it, people come in and have back pain or, you know, they've had injuries. Like, that's why I started loving it. Or they just don't feel right, like their posture is off. This helps, one, lengthen everything out. It's like core workout on steroids, but you just get more aligned.
Yeah.
I get people who come in and they're like hunching over or like can't touch their toes and they leave touching their toes.
Wow.
So it's amazing. Yeah.
That's so
cool.
And
men need it too. Men shy away from it.
I hear you. I mean, the reason I'm so obsessed with fitness is because just like you with the knee injuries and stuff, I blew my knee out in high school. And then after.
ACL too?
Yeah. ACL, meniscus, MCL, cartilage damage, the whole. Whole gamut.
It hurts.
But even after I graduated, playing flag football through intramurals through college, I actually blew out my hip.
Then
because I blew that one out, I had to get surgery on that.
On the same side?
Same side. And then because I had one on that side, I blew my other one out, so I had to go on the other side. And I think I've had four hip surgeries and a knee surgery. And through high school football, I didn't take working out too seriously. Mm-hmm. My fitness was never that great.
Mm-hmm.
But ever since I started getting into like squat everyday programs and doing a ton of lunges and really focusing on like my core and those little fast twitch muscles that you don't necessarily work on, like you were saying earlier, I haven't had any hip pain. I haven't had I still have a little bit of knee pain, but I think that's more because my meniscus is beat up and I have cartilage damage and stuff like that. But my goodness, if I would have been able to get into some sort of...
Oh, can you imagine where your game would be at?
Right?
Or, you know, where you could have gone? It's...
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's that preventative, that preventative side of it. I think there's so much growth and
for sure.
It's so important.
Well, and they're starting kids so young nowadays too. Like you have to, you know, do club if you want to, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this kid's 10.
I know.
What? They don't even know what their glute is right now. Like,
it's like little kids' soccer teams. They have like traveling teams for like 8-year-olds.
Yeah.
That go to like all over the country to play soccer.
I know.
It's like, what the?
It's crazy. I know. It's crazy. And
yeah.
And I think another reason why I love the trampoline stuff too is one, it's still high intense. You get your ass kicked, but there's something to be said about, you know, the G-force. So you're not having that trauma on your, on your knees. So like running or anything like that, it's twice as effective as running. You're going to burn more calories, burn more fat, but the trauma isn't there. You're saving your joints there.
Yeah.
So that's another positive, but I mean, we're all, and it helps with your immune system too. Working out in general does anyways, but when you jump especially, it open and closes the lymphatic valves in your body faster. And so that lymphatic fluid is circulating your body a lot faster.
Okay.
So, and your whole lymphatic system is really just to get rid of toxins, move cells around. So the more you can do that, the faster you can do that, the better it is for your immune system. There's a lot of research on it, like as far as a lot of cancer patients jump on trampolines. And not even like jump like you think. They basically do this health bounce where your feet don't come off the trampoline or go off. But it still has the same effect. So yeah, but the different, I mean, and you can still probably get the same thing as if you were to jump rope, but again, your knees are getting trauma. And I know so many runners who are, you know, in their 40s, 50s, who, they need double knee surgeries.
Yeah.
Which, shoot, after how many I've had, we'll see when I get mine, but I'm saving my joints now.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, there's just no education on that kind of stuff. And especially as a kid and as a collegiate athlete, like our bodies were thrashed. We were running 400s in the morning, lifting heavy, and then having our 2.5 hour practice later on. And that's great and fine. We were in freaking great shape, but we were also all hurt that year.
Yeah.
So what is the difference?
At the expense of your body, yeah. Mm-hmm. Jeez.
I know. But there's always cool. There's new stuff coming out now.
And yeah.
There's more emphasis. Like I'd love to go teach some, you know, high school football kids,
yeah,
you know, how to use their core.
Yeah.
And yeah, looking into doing some of those kind of things.
Are you really?
Mm-hmm.
I know some coaches, so I might be able to get connected with some people.
Yeah. Just again, I mean, giving back and teaching kids to start at a young age on to take care of your body and to, you know.
Yeah.
Yes, you want to be faster, stronger, better, but let's also take care of, because you only got one body.
Yeah, it's true. It's true.
Your whole life.
It's so true.
So, yeah.
Well, thanks for coming out.
Oh
and
my
being
gosh,
on the
thanks
show.
For having me.
It's been fun having you. I'll post all of your, for those listening, all the contact information is in the bio.
Mm-hmm.
So go check out the bio for the episode to reach out to Callie and check out Viva Fit a little bit more.
Yeah.
One of the coolest fitness studios I've come across as far as what they're doing and how they're growing. And I mean, you don't see fitness studios this young doing this cool stuff. So
really?
It's been fun to watch.
Thank you.
Thanks for being here, Callie.
Oh my gosh, thanks so much for having me.
Peace.
See ya. Let me get my mind right. You know everything is all right. You know everything is all right.